last year. She amazed her family. But now...
Mom, my science project is due tomorrow.
Jeremy hates me.
When chaos strikes...
Mom, I want to play Xbox.
No, it's my turn.
Her true powers will be revealed.
Hey, honey, your mom said she's going to stop by later. Is that okay?
Quiet!
Do you hear that?
I don't hear anything.
Exactly.
I'm panicking.
Natalie, what did you do?
How did she know?
Gifted by God with the power to read minds.
I don't have any homework.
No.
I mean, I did all my homework.
No.
Well, I did some of it.
No.
Fine, I haven't started yet.
There's the truth.
The wisdom to restore peace.
He said, that's it. We're finished. So sick of this texting.
What? Let me see that. Wait, this says sick of this testing, not texting.
Oh, right. He was taking the ACT. Thanks, Mom.
The insight to see the future.
I forgot to think of a science project.
Yeah, I thought you might.
Yes!
With a burst of unlimited capacity. And her secret weapon, the look. These abilities combine to form the ultimate example of warmth, tenderness, and dignity.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and grandmothers that are here today. And also a special welcome to everyone today as we gather to worship God. Welcome those who are guests who are worshiping with us today and those joining us via live stream as well. We want to celebrate mothers as a wonderful gift from God, but we also recognize that mothers and likewise families in general are all gifts from God who has created all things. So today we're called to worship, and we're called to worship a God who loves us, a God who welcomes us into his family. So receive this call to worship. He has set us free by his blood. He has forgiven our sins. He has given us his Holy Spirit. All praise and glory be yours, O God, for the riches of your grace, for the splendor of your gifts, and today especially the gift of mothers, and for the wonder of your love, we thank you, God. So would you please join the worship team in singing praises to our God today.
I invite you to stand to sing with us, and the ushers may come forward during this song to receive your offering for the outreach ministries. And the children may bring their coins for my coins count.
Let us pray. Father, first we do thank you for each one of us has a mother or a mother figure in our lives that makes all the difference, and we do thank you for that blessing that we have someone there for us to guide us, direct us, and let us know when we are in the wrong, for sure, as we all need some of that. And we thank you for that, Father. And we ask your blessing over the offering that's given this morning. We just pray for that. And we ask for your guidance, direct us, show us the way, help each one of us continue just to live in your presence. Show us exactly what it takes for us to be with you all the time, every day. Give us that direction, Father, as we give ourselves to you. And we just thank you so much for Jesus Christ as we pray in his name. Amen.
Okay, this next psalm is from a verse in Isaiah, and this song meant a lot to me when I was a mother of young children. Let me read the verse to you. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. So whether you have little ones, born or unborn, or some other burden or responsibility that feels heavy to you today, he will lift those you care for into his bosom, and he will gently lead you. To a mother of school-age children, and she said one of her favorite songs is Great is Thy Faithfulness. She said, the Lord has been so faithful to me as a mother over the years, and I am thankful that his mercies are new every morning. And the mercies in this song really are only things that God can give us. We cannot even give them to each other. So listen to what you're singing here.
Thank you.
And then I asked a grandmother for a suggestion, and she said there are so many good songs, but she chose this one, Near My God to Be. And I found some history on the writing of the book, the story, the hymn. In 1841, a pastor was looking for a hymn to go along with a sermon that he was preaching that Sunday. He mentioned this to Sarah Flower Adams, a member of his congregation, and she said she offered to write a hymn, which she wrote several hymns. And I just like to give you a little background to the story of Jacob at Bethel. Jacob had cheated his brother and out of his inheritance and his blessing, and Esau was furious and plotting to kill him as soon as their father died. Their mother got wind of this, and Jacob was sent away to find a wife of his mother's relatives. And on the way, as he was running away, this is what happened. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. But he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, and think about it, this is a man running away because of his own wrongdoing. And God says this to him, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie. I give it to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you or until I have done what I promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on it, like top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel. So in the same way, it was a difficult time. It was in the dark of the night that Jacob found God so near to him that it was frightening. And so often the same thing is true for us. In the difficult time, God draws closer to us, closer to himself. And that's what we really want, to be nearer to God.
Thank you.
verses from Jeremiah about our God. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. There is none like you. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his strength stretched out the heavens. He is the one who formed all things. The Lord of hosts is his name. You are God alone. To be open and listening for your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Get out of the way here. All right, children can come forward for the children's message. Well, good morning. Hey, come on, have a seat. Plenty of room there. Well, this morning, I'd like you to think about a woman in your life that has done a lot for you, has spent more time helping you than any other person. That's good. So can you think about a woman in your life who's done more for you and with you than any other person?
Your mom.
Your mom, yeah, exactly, that's right. So why does she have to clean the house so much? Do you mess it up?
Yeah.
Oh, you do. That's good. You do.
And me.
Good. You help her clean up. That's good. Okay, well, this morning we're going to talk about the kind of attitude that we should have for our mother. Okay, so I'm going to read a couple verses to you.
My mom does clean up.
Your mom cleans up too?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, good. So I'm going to read these verses to you, and I want you to listen for two words that I'm going to call them action words, so things that we should do, that you should do, okay? Two words. This is the verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. So there's two words I'm looking for that you should do.
Obey and honor.
You got it, yes. Obey and honor. You should obey your parents.
What about daddy?
What about your dad? Should you obey your dad too? Okay, very good. Yes, so you should obey your parents, your mother and your father, doing what they ask you to do. You should also honor your mother and father. That means have a heart attitude about how important they are to you, okay? So I'm going to ask you a couple of situations, and I'm going to ask you to tell me, is that obeying and honoring or not? So the answer is yes or no, okay? Okay, listen closely. Doing what your mom asks you to do right away.
Yes.
You do that all the time, right? Good. Okay. The baby's crying? Okay, here's another one. Throwing a fit or a temper tantrum when you don't get your way.
No,
that's not honoring and obeying. Eating your dinner and thanking your mother for making it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Complaining that your mom cooked something you didn't like. No. Telling your mom that you love her.
Yes.
Absolutely. And praying for your mom.
Yes.
Okay, so today is Mother's Day, all right? Today's the day we're going to honor our mothers. So what I want you to do sometime today, what I want you to do is I want you to give your mother a great big hug. And then tell her that you love her. Okay? Can you do that?
Yeah.
Sometime today, give your mom a great big hug and then tell her that you love her.
And
say Happy Mother's Day, right. Okay, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then Sandy has a snack for you guys. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, God, for this day that we can honor our mothers today. I pray for these children that they would be able to sometime throughout this day, tell their mother how much they love them and also just be obedient to them. So we just thank you for these children. Ask for your blessing upon them today. In Jesus' name, amen. So grab a snack and head back to your parents. So again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and grandmothers that are represented here this morning. May God richly bless each and every one of you. Scripture tells us that we should honor our fathers and mothers, and I would add that we should honor our mothers and our fathers every day, not just on Mother's Day. But today is that special day that we do honor our mothers. So before we go any further this morning, I just want to pause and I want to acknowledge and recognize the fact that Mother's Day is not necessarily a pleasant day for everyone, and possibly someone here today. There may be someone here this morning who's longed and longed and longed to be a mother, but for some reason has not been able to. So today is a painful day for you. May God pour out a very special blessing upon you today. Maybe there's someone present today that lost their mother this past year, and so this is the very first Mother's Day that mother isn't with you. This brings back all kinds of memories and feelings. So may God richly bless you also. And there may also be other reasons, a number of reasons why someone may be experiencing sadness and heartache on this day that we set aside to celebrate and honor our mother. So I just want to recognize that fact this morning. And I just want to pause and have a word of prayer. I'm also going to pray for Wayne Ristler, who will be having back surgery on Thursday, and also an update on Carol Whitmer. She has found some relief from the pain that she was experiencing, and they're going to be consulting with the surgeons, so down the road sometime, not sure exactly when, but they're sort of waiting for all that to take place. So just want to recognize all those needs this morning and just pause and lift that up to the throne of grace today. So would you join me in prayer? God Almighty, we recognize that you are the giver of every good gift. We recognize and understand that you created everything. And we also understand that creation today isn't as it should be. Sin has broken what was good and inflicted pain. So on this day, we lift up to you the heartache, the hurt, and the pain for those who long to be mothers but are unable to. For those who have conceived but suffered loss through maybe a miscarriage or something like that, and we lift up to your throne of grace. For those who have given birth and then endured the tragedy of bearing a child. For those who have lost their mothers, sometimes the grief that these persons carry is often hid from us or neglected on this day of celebration of motherhood. We ask, I pray, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, that you would reach down and touch the heartache, touch the pain, and bring a degree of healing today in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Also lift up Wayne as he's facing surgery, back surgery on Thursday. We ask, Father God, you would guide the surgeon's hands. The surgery would go well, and it would accomplish what needs to be accomplished. We also lift up Carol to your throne of grace. Thank you that she's found some relief from her pain. And we do ask that as they wait for surgery to take place, that you would just, everything would fall into place, that surgery could take place and there'd be healing taking place through the medical field. So we thank you, God, for caring about us. Thank you that you rose from the grave, and we ask that you give comfort and peace, and that you would breathe on all of us today the breath of new life. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who defeated death. Amen. Well, this morning, the title of the message is A Mother's Wages from Exodus 2, 1 to 10. So we're going to look at Exodus 2, 1 to 10 in a minute. But just a bit of context before we read those verses. The days were very, very dark as the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. I believe they frequently felt the sting of the whip on their backs as they worked in the hot sun. Probably the greatest joy that they experienced was the birth of a son into their home. But now that greatest joy had also turned into one of life's sorrows through the decree of Pharaoh. The Hebrew people had reached the point where life had become so oppressive that perhaps it had almost lost its meaning. Yet there was a thread of faith that kept the flame of hope flickering in their lives. So one such person of faith was a Hebrew housewife named Jochebed, who looked with joy into the face of her newborn son and then recalled that Pharaoh decreed that all Hebrew baby boys must be slain. That's, you can read about that in Exodus chapter 1. Then we come to Exodus chapter 2. I'd like to read the first 10 verses. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it, put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then her sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered, and the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." So Jochebed followed her God-given motherly instinct to preserve her newborn child at all costs, even though she was probably risking her own life if her daring scheme was going to be exposed. So in Exodus 2:9a, we read, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Jochebed, "Take this baby and nurse him, and I will pay you." So that brings us to the title, A Mother's Wages. So what are a mother's wages? Are a mother's wages overwork? Are a mother's wages heartache? In our world today, perhaps that seems to be the answer. However, a godly mother can look beneath the surface and see what the real issues are. So let's look at Jochebed, the mother of Moses, and see truths that are also relevant to the role of motherhood today. So first of all, a godly mother's characteristics. There are several characteristics that are part of a Christian mother's DNA. The definition of DNA is the fundamental and distinctive characteristic or quality of someone or something, especially when regarded as unchangeable. So what are they? First of all, faith in God, and I would say a deep faith in God. Imagine the faith that it took for Jochebed to house and care for a crying baby for 3 months, as guards were probably passing by, doing routine checks, looking for any potential clue or sign that a baby boy was in that home. And I would add that she had a courageous faith. To believe, to have faith that there was a positive future for her son when everything pointed to the ultimate destruction of her people. So Jochebed needed to have a deep faith in the power of Almighty God to control the future. She needed to believe that her crazy scheme to preserve her baby had been planted in her heart by God, and that he, God, would see it through to completion. She needed to believe that this idea to preserve her baby's life was birthed out of her personal faith and trust in God. So likewise, for a mother today to give birth to a child and to believe that they will see better days ahead, or they will be able to have the Christian stamina to stand firm against all the evils of our day, also requires a deep faith and trust in God through his son, Jesus Christ. So a deep faith and trust in God is required of a godly mother. Secondly, hope. Against great odds, Jochebed must have had hope in her heart that her son Moses would be saved from Pharaoh's sword and saved to a life of useful service for God. It was a hope that sprung forth from her faith in the power of God to save and sustain her son in a supernatural way. So today, every godly mother needs to have hope in their hearts for each child that God gives them. Hope that her child will grow up to take a useful place in life's experiences, and more specifically, a place of service in God's kingdom. This hope of a mother carefully imparts into the hearts of her children while they are very, very young. And the third thing is love. A godly mother must have a love that is submissive to the will of God. So technically, Jochebed did carry out the Pharaoh's edict because she did throw her son into the river. Actually, she was doing this in a spirit of love. Love for her son, and most importantly, a deep love for God, whom she believed had the power to meet her great need. In that heart-rending moment on the riverbank of the Nile, the love of a mother for her child and the love of God met and performed an incredible miracle that would ultimately change the course of history for God's people. In that moment on the riverbank of the Nile, Jochebed found that perfect love cast out fear. So secondly, let's look at a mother's task. So it'd probably be very foolish for me to stand up here and attempt to name all the many tasks that a mother is called upon to perform. From wiping runny noses to applying psychology to life's experiences, to serving as a secretary, to being a chauffeur for young teenagers, and the list can go on and on and on. So I'm going to attempt to define a few general tasks of a godly mother. To curb a child's lawlessness. So please understand that a godly father also has deep responsibility in all these areas as well. It's not just for the mother. But the nature of a mother is more nurturing Therefore, one of her tasks, along with her husband, is to instill godly principles into the young life of her child so they are prepared to face the challenges of life. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it." Secondly, to be a nurse. There is no touch like the touch of a mother when a child is sick or injured. The ministry of a mother's touch and love to the physically sick or injured child leaves a memory that is forever imprinted on the heart and the mind of each of their children. Thirdly, is to point the way to God. In Port Gibson, Mississippi, there is a church building located on the main thruway. The building itself is rather common, with one exception. At the top of its steeple, there isn't the usual spire or cross, but there is a hand with the index finger pointed heavenward towards God. The greatest task a godly mother has is to point her children to God. During those formative years, while Jochebed was acting as a caregiver for her own son, she was able to implant a knowledge of God into the mind and heart of her young son. Now, it may seem like that knowledge lay dormant for many years until the time was right in God's eyes for that knowledge to awaken and spring into action. One of the divine commissions of a godly mother is to point the way to Jesus by living and modeling what a godly lifestyle looks like. And again, fathers also have that divine commission as well. So, a mother's wages. Pharaoh's daughter said to Jochebed, "And I will pay you," in Exodus 2:9. So the scripture doesn't tell us what that payment would be in terms of tangible payment. So for our purposes here this morning, let's think in terms of payment being, how did Moses, her son, respond to her nurturing and her pointing the way to God? So I'm going to take a look at two payments. The first one I'm going to call is early payment. Perhaps at first Jochebed may have asked herself, is the pain of motherhood really worth it? First, she gives her own son to Pharaoh's daughter, and the Bible says he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." So I imagine it was a very painful time, as perhaps Jochebed wondered if she would ever see Moses again. And then, after Moses had grown up, didn't he, in a fit of anger, go against her teaching and commit murder? And then in fear, he fled to Midian. So I'm again imagining a mother's heartache. Heartache after heartache was or is this payment for motherhood is perhaps what Jochebed was asking. So today, maybe there's a mother here this morning who may be asking that same question. Is heartache after heartache my payment for motherhood? And now, later payment. So perhaps Jochebed didn't live long enough to witness the incredible role her children played in the history of the children of Israel. We know that Moses, with God's help and guidance, was instrumental in leading the children of Israel out of bondage and slavery from Egypt. the lives her children lived and the roles they played in God's plan to free his people from bondage was huge. Some of the greatest rewards or wages that a mother can receive, and this list is not exhaustive, but perhaps some of the following. First of all, children who are obedient. Secondly, children who have been born again and understand each child must make their own choice and decision. You cannot make that decision for them. Thirdly, children who are active and contributing to the building of God's kingdom. Fourthly, children who live morally pure lives. Fifth, children who stand up for God's truth in the face of opposition. And that's just to name a few of the wages that a mother can possibly receive. So today, corsages and or flowers may bring a temporary smile of gratitude from our mothers' faces on Mother's Day. But I submit to you this morning, what brings real and abiding joy to a godly mother are the things that I just mentioned. So this morning, I ask you this question. If your earthly mother is still with you, is your life bringing joy to your mother? If the answer is negative, then what do you need to do today to change that? If it is positive, then I say, praise the Lord. But no matter what the answer is, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If your mother's still with you, give your mother a great big hug and tell her that you love her. I believe you will never, ever regret doing that, because life is very short. So again this morning, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and the grandmothers here today. May God richly bless you as you place your faith and trust in God to care for your children and your grandchildren in these uncertain days in which we live. We sang earlier, because he lives, we can face tomorrow, and we can do that no matter what tomorrow may bring. So again, happy Mother's Day, and would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for our mothers. So I'm going to ask today that you would bless all the mothers and the grandmothers that are here today. We ask for your special blessing, your special touch upon them today. And I pray that you would motivate us who are here today. If our mother is still living, that we would approach them sometime today, give them a great big hug, tell them that we love them. Help us to do that. Help us to lay aside all those things that may cause us or hinder us from doing that and respond to our mothers in that way. So again, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for modeling what that love looks like. And again, we ask for your special blessing upon all the mothers and grandmothers here today. I pray this in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. I just want to make you aware, June 4 is coming up. Flowing Waters is doing the Music in the Park again this year. We were told that Bonesville Days wants to have the park for in August, so we're moving the Community Family Fun Day back to June 4. So we are going to be giving a meal that day, and I was just going to put it out here to the congregation. If you want to help, anybody that would be into making some Rice Krispie squares, if you are interested, you can talk to Anita, and we would be interested in if you do that, you would cut them and just wrap them in paper towel or saran wrap, and or individually wrap them. Let me just say it that way. My wife gave me the eye, so I had to come up with something. So it starts from 10 a.m. in the morning till 8 p.m. Behold the Beloved is going to be there at 6:30 to give a concert for us. There's music all day long. There is going to be some tents set up. Last year when we did it, it was very hot, so you were out under the sun. So we are going to set some tents this year to try and keep you a little cooler. Todd Weber is going to share some stuff about Elevate there. So we just want to make it open to the congregation here. And if anybody's interested in helping with making Rice Krispie squares, just let Anita know. Thanks.
Rick, do you get Rice Krispie squares wrapped in paper towel in your lunch? I thought maybe. So I just want to bring your attention to a few youth group announcements. First, in the bulletin, it says the youth group has cards displayed in the foyer listing jobs that they would be available to help you with. Donations for hiring them will go towards a summer service project to Alaska. If you have any job that you need help with, but you cannot give a donation, that's fine. Just let somebody in the youth group know, and we can help you at no charge. So Wednesday night, there's about a dozen of us, youth, sat over there in that room, and we made 3x5 cards. We put our contact information and the job that we're willing to do, and we took the time to do that, and I think it was Nicole took time to make sure that the announcement got put in the bulletin, and somebody forgot to bring the cards this morning. So next Sunday, there will be a display with all these cards, with all the jobs that the youth are willing to do. Just grab a card, the contact information, and everything is on there. When you look them over and decide which one you want to do, take the card down and just keep it so that nobody else can get it then. Also, I want to bring your attention to the fact that we are having a yard sale here next Saturday. There's going to be 14 stands here. So if you like yard sailing, it ought to be a pretty good size yard sale. And if you don't like buying other people's stuff to add to your stuff, you can come anyway because there's going to be food there. There's going to be some soup, some hot dogs, ice cream. So it'll be a good time of fellowship, eating, and yard sailing. So come on out next Saturday. Thanks.
Well, thank you for those announcements, and it's good we have wives to remind us of things that we forgot, right? So just in your bulletin, there's an update on Len Becker, who had an accident earlier in the week, who was in the hospital, has been discharged now, so you can read that update. And also Dave Culp is going to be having cataract surgery, so that's in your bulletin also, so I didn't want to neglect those persons, so you can read about that in your bulletin. Also, there's carnations up here this morning. So the idea is that persons would come up here, get a carnation, and take it back to their mother and give it to them for Mother's Day today. And maybe I suggest that that'd be a good time to give them a hug and tell them that you love them, for anyone who is listening. Anyway, after the service, come up, get a carnation, give it to your mother or a mother figure in your life, and just bless them on Mother's Day. So would you stand for this benediction? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. God bless you. Go in peace. And again, happy Mother's Day.